You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To you, Mike McNamara for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you. Joe Biden in the news. Should we talk about that? Joe Biden said what he's been accused of never happened. So, got that going for you this morning. Yeah. And, again, what's sad about all of this isn't that a public figure can be accused of that, because it happens all the time. What happens is that what's sad about it is that the same people who were so vehement, right, to demand an investigation of Judge Kavanaugh. And I think most prominent among them is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I mean, how the hell does she look at herself in the face, in the mirror? Right? I mean... You watch the video of some of the statements that people made, and now you give him a pass. Except the difference between the two allegations is that this one is substantiated. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty. I know, when you think American politics can't get worse, don't delude yourself with that ridiculous notion, because it certainly can. They can certainly take the elevator down to a new floor. And so, it's pretty amazing. And I say that with no with no great pride in saying it. So that's in the news this morning. The other thing in the news is the governor of the state of California talked about, as it should be, as the nation, looks to come out of this COVID thing, there would be 50 different, remedies applied by 50 different state governments, right? Led by a governor. To me, in terms of the state, every county would have a different way to come out of it based on, their incident rate, blah, 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 blah. And so the governor of the state of California, reacting to pictures that were posted, and the pushback against the picture are, hey, I mean, that was done with the telephoto lens from a horizontal angle. It makes everybody look like they're right on top of each other. If you take other images, you can see that people, you know, were social distancing. So the city of Huntington Beach is going to court to challenge the governor's challenge the governor's order. The city of Newport Beach is contemplating legal action as well. And so it's just, I don't know, it's discouraging. I told Colleen, I said, hey, if there's a protest, we're going. We're going to make a sign. We're making a sign, and we're going. And she's like, oh, my God. I'm like, no, this is stupid. This is stupid. And so then it got me to thinking, okay, so what data should we focus on, right? What data should we focus on? And the story, so you had people go to the beach, right? And then on Monday, Tuesday, coronavirus cases in Orange County went up. Well, I mean, come on. The diagnosis, I mean, you wouldn't get tested and, you know, that couldn't happen that fast. So what happened? What's the footnote with that? Oh, they got more tests. They were able to do more tests on a daily basis. Oh, so when you see the headline, right, number of positive cases increases, unfootnoted, you are like, oh, my God, it's getting worse. No, it's not. They're just able to test more. And what they find whenever they test is more people have it. Okay. So the question is, so what that takes me back to is, so what do you focus on? So you focus on rates. Okay. So the Orange County Register publishes confirmed cases and deaths, right, every day. In on their website. Now, Los Angeles has 1,119, 23,000, I'll just round these numbers, 23,200 confirmed cases and 1,100 deaths. Orange County, second most populous county here in Southern California, 2,400 cases, 45 deaths. Yeah, only 45 deaths. In Riverside County, there are 4,000 cases and 149 deaths. San Bernardino County is 2,000 cases, 2,100 cases, and 93 deaths. Okay, so... okay, Mac, thanks for the data dump. You're welcome. All right, now, when you take their populations and then you come up with the rate, okay, Los Angeles County has a case rate, a confirmed case rate of 0.23%. So that's as a percentage, 0.23%. Orange County, right? Orange County. Now, remember, this is not the antibody test. This is that you've gone to a clinic or you've gone to your physician. They recommended a test. You took the test and you're positive. Okay. So Orange County has a rate of 0.08%. That's the Orange County rate. Coronavirus. It's by far, well, number two is close, but it is, you know, it's a third. The rate is a third of Los Angeles County. Riverside County, 2.4 million people, their case rate is 0.16. So double Orange County. San Bernardino County, they have, let's see, their case rate is 0.09, so a little bit above Orange County, but not much. How about death rate, right? How about death rate? And so to me, so what do you focus on in these statistics? Don't focus on aggregate numbers, because as they test more, the number positive goes up. Okay. The question is, what is happening to the rate of infection relative to the population? Okay. So, and the, you know, in terms of the number of people tested, so it's the rates. Okay. So, in terms of death rate, Los Angeles has a death rate of 0.01%. Orange County has a death rate of 0.0014%. I mean, so those are the death rates. So in terms of looking at numbers, you know, those are the numbers and the trend lines you need to follow, you know. And in particular, relative to your population, how many people are dying and how many confirmed cases you have. Okay. And again, so to me, somebody wrote me an email and said, you know, it's pretty confusing tracking data, you know. And so what we've been talking about the last few days is the number of antibody tests and how those numbers, no matter which data that you grab, they all tell you the same thing, that many more people have this than was originally thought. So pretty interesting to watch in terms of the data sets. And then what happens is, you know, and we talked about this on the show this week, is that you have political leaders that are trying to craft one response to all these different and varied places. You know, and California is diverse geographically. It's diverse in terms of population density. It's diverse. I mean, so how do you have one set of rules that apply to everybody? It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, so City of Huntington Beach is going to take Governor Newsom on. And it's interesting, the quotes you see from people that were at the beach last week. Huntington Beach City Council voted 5-2 to direct the city attorney to pursue any and all legal actions necessary to challenge the state's beach closure directive. The city will still be closing beaches on May 1st out of concern for the issues that could cause it being the only Orange County city with its beach still open and the crowding that would ultimately come from that. The closures will include city bike paths, boat ramps, restrooms, parking lots, and associated recreational amenities. In addition, activities such as sunbathing, walking, running, and water sports will be prohibited. I mean, give me a fucking break. Quote, our experience locally has been that most people are being responsible and complying with social distancing requirements, the city said. The city's public safety officers will strive to educate the public. So what are we looking for? Zero people that, you know, that violate this thing? It's just stupid. So anyway, that's going on. The other thing, obviously, the politics of all this continues. And as we head into May. Right. And you know, somebody asked me, we were talking about testing, and they said, you know, but you go get tested and it's just a snapshot. I mean, you're going to come in contact with more people. You're going to go to the supermarket. You're going to touch stuff. So it's just me. I mean, how can we ever have enough tests? And that's it. That's a good question. That's a good question. So anyway, good morning to you on a Friday morning here. The chef won't join us today. Sadly, he's recovering. So we send a shout out to to Kim. But in a special treat, my two daughters are going to fill in for him. Mm-hmm. So, Colleen and Catherine are going to join the program this morning. And you're going to get a chance to meet them. But we have to talk about food. And they are somewhat fast food connoisseurs. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about they grew up in Kim's restaurant. So we'll talk about their favorite food there. And then we'll talk to them about Colleen, a high school student, going through high school this year anyway, during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we'll talk to Colleen about that. And then we'll talk to Catherine about working from home. How is that going? Is it good or bad for her business? And then whatever else comes up in between. So, yeah, trust me, you'll enjoy it. My two daughters coming on All Marine Radio this morning. So stand by. Let me read you an email. Yeah, Jeff Kinney kind of started a thing when he said that he was going to watch the Vietnam, Ken Burns' Vietnam series. And I said, I should watch it again because it always sounds, you always take different things away. And so a number of people have done it, and it's been interesting to read their observations watching it a second time, things that they didn't see or pick up on the first time. To me, if you didn't hear me say it yesterday, the biggest thing that I picked up on is that I think what Ken Burns tries to craft in the way, the kind of people that he includes in it, is that nobody stays where they start, right? Everybody changes, right? And I think that's his point about the war, is that the war is a huge undertaking to understand. And if you look at these people who were, who fought in the war, who lost brothers and sisters in the war, brothers in the war primarily, that's the family that they kind of include, you see how, people change throughout. And that was, the more I thought about it, that was my probably biggest take on the second, as I broaden the lens out, right? Good morning, Mac. Happy Friday. Happy May Day to everybody, by the way. Happy Friday. Hope the chef is getting well. Yeah, I got an update on him yesterday. He was complaining about the food, which is always a good sign. So, anyhow. Hey, I have a question and want your opinion. Did we actually leave many POWs behind in Vietnam? If so, how many? If so, how could or why would that happen? I've read conflicting info on this very question, so I wanted your opinion. Thank you. There's been stuff written that there was people left behind, people that had been seen and disappeared, people that were being held, maybe not essentially by the North Vietnamese, but by, different people, some held in Laos and Cambodia and things like that. So I don't have a good answer for you on that. And then, the internet is only going to blow that stuff up. So, I don't have a good answer for you, right? I've seen those stories too, where, and you see a picture of somebody and they said this was taken on this date, and this guy survived this amount of time. So I don't have a great answer for you. The United States was satisfied that they had a full accounting of everybody that North Vietnam held. Now, that may or may not have been everybody that was being held by either tribes or, you know, or other governments. So, yeah, disturbing. The other story that's in the news is the Michael Flynn thing. And I had to tell you, man, that's how troubling is that? How troubling is that? We'll continue that more and more information. I dare say that it will not be the last explosive thing that comes out relative to that investigation. But the more stuff that comes out, the worse, in my opinion, James Comey looks. And to have a senior FBI official even, is that what we do? Is that the business of the FBI? Is that how they do it? Aren't they? I thought the truth, again, what you're seeing is the truth doesn't matter, which, so anyway, so good morning to you. I won't beat that horse to death. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the chef today. Hope you feel better, Kim, and to his lovely wife Beth, who always makes sure she updates us. So this is to the chef. I hope you feel better.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think. and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for us to check the weather here on a Friday. Currently, it is partly sunny and 58 in Quantico. Partly sunny and 65 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms, mostly sunny and 73. Camp Pendleton reports clouds and 63. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 70. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 72. Lash Garga, evening falling in Afghanistan and 82 degrees with some clouds. And in Ramadi, in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is 88 degrees. Under mostly cloudy skies. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 65 and mostly cloudy. Feels like 65. Looking for a high of 71 today, 73 tomorrow, and 73 on Sunday. So it should be a beautiful weekend. So don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You will hear the aforementioned Colleen, yeah, and her older sister here in the next hour filling in for the show. They're filling in more as eaters than as than as cooks, just for the record. An update on the show. He says he's okay. Called the lovely Miss B this morning. Said he's doing good. So, yeah, frustrating for anybody who has anybody in the hospital like this. You know, you can't go. You drop them off. You can go wave at them through the window. And that's it. Shithole weather this morning from Church Bridge, Saskatchewan. Yesterday had a high of 77. May Day weather. Yeah, 77. I mean, they were like minus 28 degrees, right? Currently 50 degrees, cloudy with west winds at 11. By 9 a.m., winds will have switched to the northwest at 30, which will bring rain until the late afternoon, the afternoon high of 57. And there's a beautiful picture of a pair of Canadian geese. And there's snow in the background still, but the water's running, which is kind of an odd combination. Most of the time, by the time the water's running, most of the snow is gone, but here in the picture. So it's a beautiful picture. So my thanks to Bev in Church Bridge, Saskatchewan. To the news we go. Above the fold, Stars and Stripes, Navy says more than 1,150 Roosevelt sailors have tested positive for the virus. Now, see, so to me, this is kind of a captured little petri dish, right? More than a quarter of the 4,000 crew members. Well, I thought the crew was 4,800. So let's just call it 25%. Approximately 25% of the crew. Now, that's positive tests. All right? So, PT, the question is, what percentage have the antibody? That would be interesting, right? After more than a month of isolating sailors, sanitizing the ships, and testing every crew member, there are 11,102 active cases of coronavirus among Roosevelt sailors, three of whom are hospitalized at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Guam. 53 other sailors have died 53 other sailors have recovered, and one has died. Nobody is in ICU at this point. And they begin to head back onto the ship. So it's so the Roosevelt getting ready to head back to sea. So again, a lot of people interested in the data that comes out of there because of its own kind of cocoon. It's official. DOD schools in Europe are closed to students for the rest of the school year. And in Germany, they're reviewing barbershop and playground restrictions. You know, to me, you know, it's like, okay, you know, common sense applies. If you're at risk, you can't just get on with your life. But for everybody else, what are the rules? Okay, you're gonna go to the park. You're gonna go plan a playground where other little kids are, right? So, but again, I think it's important that you know people look at the data in terms of who's gotten sick, who hasn't gotten sick, and you know the whole concept of herd immunity. Okay, and for the vast majority of the population. So, so that going on today. Interesting story about Afghanistan in Stars and Stripes. U.S.-led coalition in Afghanistan withholds more information from the public as violence intensifies, according to its watchdog. Now, again, the guy's name is John Sopko. He's a special inspector general for Afghan reconstruction. And so he... Whenever that dude speaks, man, everybody listens. Right? In a report dated after the signing of the deal on February 29th, quote, although not all such attacks are expressly prohibited by the text, U.S. officials said they expected the level of violence to remain low after the agreement came into effect. Within days of the February 29th deal being inked, U.S. aircraft bombed the insurgents in defense of Afghan forces, but it remained unclear whether the U.S. had carried out further strikes. NATO said officials in Kabul have declined to discuss the matter with Stars and Stripes. They also have not published a tally of U.S. airstrikes for the month of March. So anyway... Yeah, Sopko has come to be seen, I think, as a pretty credible guy relative to things Afghanistan, and he is now is positioned as a speaker of the truth. So anyway, another headline: Air Force bombers fly over the South China Sea in latest foray into the contested space. Another headline: Chinese vessels steam between the islands of Okinawa, right? And so much different reaction, right? There, the Japanese wave, freedom of navigation. It's the way free nations do it, right? In the South China Sea, the Chinese bristle, right? So kind of stupid, but whatever. In just the news, some headlines. Their top headline today. Biden's VP search chief, so the person who's heading his vice president search team, tied to China money scandal, Harvey Weinstein, and women allegations. Next story. White House considering blocking military pension funds from being invested in Chinese defense firms. I mean, this story has been around for the better part of a week. The Investment Board for Federal Pensioners has planned to proceed with the plan despite warnings from lawmakers and former Navy boss. The Investment Board for Federal Pensioners had planned to proceed, quote, discussions are ongoing. This has been considered for a while, and the specifics are not yet public, a senior Trump administration official said. No decision has been made at this time, contrary to what other folks are saying. Just the News reported last month, which is the website this comes from, right, that the U.S. is about to embark on a new effort that could benefit the Chinese economy, including its defense industrial complex, through investments of retirement funds for federal and U.S. military retirees. The main actor in the behind-the-scenes pension issue is the five-person Federal Retirement Thrift Board that administers the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, the 401k plan for federal workers. It serves nearly 6 million current and retired military and civilian federal employees and controls tens of billions of dollars. So we're sitting there in our committee meeting, right? And somebody says, but, you know, the best returns would be to invest this money in firms that invest in China, right? That's where we're seeing, you know, better returns. And we look around, right? We look around and we're like, what? Invest where? Oh, what, can we not find a firm that has a mutual fund that invests in Russian nuclear technology? We can't find that, so we'll go do the Chinese? Come on, we can't do that. All right, the board is in the final stages of completing a transition, despite repeated and vocal objections from former Navy Secretary Richard Spencer, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Senators Marco Rubio, and Jean Shaheen, who's a Democrat, also a senator from New Hampshire. In their October letter to the pension board, Rubio and Shaheen wrote, this decision would effectively invest the retirement savings of Americans, civil servants, and military personnel in constituent companies that assist in the Chinese government's military activities, espionage, human rights abuses, as well as many other Chinese companies that lack basic financial transparency. All right. What? What? Now, and again, if you haven't heard about Just the News, okay, if you haven't heard about Just the News, let me just read. If you go to the bottom of the website, this is what they say, right? If you click on About Us, and you've heard the name John Solomon. I want to say he was with ABC News or something like that. Just the News is committed to just reporting facts from journalists with a long record of public trust and excellence. In an era where opinion and supposition are too often substituted for facts and where journalists rush to get things first and hope their stories are correct, Just the News tries to stand out by returning to the bedrock promise of getting news first, but first getting it right. All right, so that's what this website is. So I've become a bit of a fan of it. Here's a headline. The FBI found no derogatory Russia evidence on Flynn, planned to close the case before FBI leaders intervened. FBI memos show the case was to be closed with a defensive briefing before a second interview with Flynn was sought. I mean, honestly, I mean, that's crazy. Right? It's crazy. And so the guy who muses whether the FBI is playing games is Peter Strzok's boss. Yeah, that's the guy who wrote that. So he's musing about what Strzok's doing. And Strzok keeps alive. it's really very disturbing in terms of, you know, where this nation's going and those kind of people, and pretty amazing stuff. The vice CNO of the United States Navy will oversee the expanded Theodore Roosevelt outbreak investigation. And again, I talked about this yesterday, but I don't know that there's any way that you can look at this and say this is not a vote of no confidence from both the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the Acting Secretary of the Navy and the CNO. The CNO, you never heard his name when Captain Crozier was fired. Cricket, CNO, hello, somebody? Newman, right? Bueller, anybody? So now he gets a chance, like, all right, now we're, you know, this whole thing about, you know, give that guy back his command. And ad nauseum again, but how do you give the guy his command back and not send a message to every commander in every service of the United States military that you can vent your spleen publicly and maybe keep your career? No, everybody knows the rules, man. If you go public and you vent your spleen, you're done. Right? And if you think it's that important, then do it. So even if I wanted to, okay, even if I wanted to, I can't save him from what he did. Even if I wanted to. Now, if he would have dissented, if he would have been insubordinate privately, I could. What I would say is, no, you know the guy who fucked this up? It was the 7th Fleet guy. Look at him. He was on vacation. He didn't come back. I don't know that that's true, right? So then you have the ship and the strike group asking for this expedited stuff, and they're not doing it, and they're not communicating it to him. And so he's kind of left in the lurch, watching his numbers go up, and he's getting nothing from 7th Fleet. So because he dissented within the chain of command and brought this up, you know, I'm going to restore him. And 7th Fleet, man, you need to announce that you're retiring. You're going to go away. I could do it, but when he does what he does with the letter, can't save him from that. And I shouldn't save him from that. So again, how the Navy can look and say this is good for the naval service, period. Nobody's worth that ass pain. Okay? Nobody. Nobody and nobody's career is worth that ass pain. So the vice CNO. He's gonna take over the expanded, you know, investigation outbreak, and then that's gonna take months. And at that point, you know, the Roosevelt's underway. You know, they've turned the page. Interesting story, right? Fincantieri wins almost a $1 billion contract to build 10 Navy frigates. I think the curious part of all of it is, it's an Italian company. Fincantieri beat out what was originally four of their competitors, who were asked by the Navy to take a mature parent design and evolve it to meet the Navy's needs for potential high-end warfare. Fincantieri, which will build its frigates at its Marinette Marine Shipyard in Wisconsin, based its FFGX design on the FREMM multi-mission frigate already operated by the French and the Italian navies. Awesome work copying naval design from the French and the Italians. The detailed design and the construction contract covers one ship in the current fiscal year, 2020, and options for as many as 9 more for a total value of $5.58 billion if all options are exercised. Pretty interesting, huh? Yeah. We don't have an American company that could do that. Marine Corps time. Stop stories. Top stories. A Marine died during PT out in 29 Palms. So he's identified. I don't feel any need to do that, though. There are COVID-19 cases at boot camp in San Diego. Well, there's a shocker, right? Another headline. Marines attending a formal school may have to arrive 14 days early due to COVID-19. Get there 2 weeks early and quarantine. A culture that fosters sexual assaults and sexual harassment persist despite prevention efforts, a new Pentagon study shows. Any service member can repeat back what they've learned about preventing sexual assault in required training. But a study released by the Defense Department on Thursday shows that the military still has a long way to go when it comes to stamping out not only sexual assaults, but the toxic and harassing command cultures that set the stage for sexual violence. You know, I let me just say this in defense of the military. This is not a military problem. This is a problem in our culture. Right? This is a problem in our culture. So listen to this. Today, this is from a female Marine. Today I've been over to get something and I didn't know there was anybody behind me. A female junior enlisted Marine told one of the focus groups. Bent over to grab something really quick and a sergeant is behind me and said, "Oh, don't tempt me." Now, that's a problem in our culture. You know, there's this whole sex thing in our culture, right? So, that's hard to eradicate out of the culture. And I, to be honest with you, I haven't been too many organizations that can get somebody at that age to look at somebody else and not see or think something sexual. How do you do that? Oh, you shouldn't see that when she bends over in front of you. You shouldn't say that. Absolutely. Everybody knows that. But that's the problem in our whole culture. And the DOD, believe it or not, is a microcosm of the culture. But if you could see what the training and like the study says, everybody can repeat what they've heard in class. So what do you have to do? Now you have to take over and parent them when they're little? Yeah, kind of crazy in my opinion. Top five stories in early, but the story would indicate to you that there's been no progress, and I mean that's ridiculous. There's been incredible progress. There's sexual assault SARCs, sexual assault coordinators in every unit. Marines get briefed. It's mandatory annual training, right? Sexual assault, sexual harassment, all that shit. And it's in their face all the time. But I don't know really how you know, the whole boy-girl thing, girl-girl thing, boy-boy thing. I don't know how you disconnect that. Okay? I don't know. In somebody's utopian world where nobody thinks that or says that. I don't know. Number one, top five stories, acting SecNav orders reinvestigation. Actually, it's not a reinvestigation. The acting SecNav is responding to, right, a request from the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying that we want a full investigation done because the stakes for reinstating Brett Crozier are extremely high. And again, I don't see it. Number two, the Pentagon announces that the Defense Production Act will be used to boost coronavirus swab production. So, yeah, that's a good deal. Number three, many field hospitals went largely unused and will be shut down. And again, my opinion, you got Governor Cuomo, Chicken Little, right, on TV every day telling everybody that this coronavirus thing, it's coming to you just like it's in New York City. And we all know that's bullshit. It was bullshit when he was saying it. So anyway, yeah, ship sorties, right? They jumped through their ass to make it go. I want to say they treated, the number I saw was less than 200 patients during the time they were there. Number four, Roosevelt sailors begin moving out of quarantine back on to the ship. So congratulations to them. Number five, new Air Force One just racked up its first cost overrun. We already talked about yesterday the Chinese carrier sailed between the Okinawan Islands for a second time during the month of April. And that is a look at your news this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Colleen and Catherine join me. Yeah, they're more food. Normally, we have a good time on Friday. We talk about food with the chef, blah, 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 blah. Well, Colleen and Catherine are kind of food consumers. So what you're going to hear is more something from a consumption perspective as opposed to a preparation perspective. But they were frequent guests at Kim's restaurant, and truth be told, and Kim and Beth are Colleen's godparents. And so, so you're going to hear the McNamara girls this morning coming up next here on Almarin Radio. So don't touch that dial. You'll enjoy it. More of this coming up next.